We'll start with a set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God. The steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your spiritual truth. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've got some new guys today, and we're starting chapter 8, and we're going to go through to wives the next...
2 months.
No, we won't take 2 months. Stop it. Dick, they're new. Let's behave. Probably 3 months. To wives, then we're going to do family afterwards, and to employers, and then we're going to do a vision for you, which is fantastic chapter. And these are this chapter and the two others are called the lost chapters. Nobody reads them, but these are chapters contain how to practice the principles in all of our affairs. Has anybody ever heard that read before at a meeting? We have to practice these principles in all our affairs or nothing changes. And how do I know how to practice the principles unless I've worked the steps and continue to work them all the time? You don't get a degree in here and says, he's finished, A. No, it's a continual process. And the more I practice the principles, the better my life is. Now, if I stop practicing these spiritual principles and I practice my principles, then things start to go awry. They start to go downhill because I'm following me and not God. And the whole deal is, how do we practice his principles and not mine? And I don't know how to do that when I came in. I didn't even know that they weren't his principles, they were my principles. Well, that's what steps 1, 2, and 3 are designed, is to get you ready to not practice your principles anymore. And you could decide you're not going to practice your principles, but you can't stop doing it. You don't know how. And step 4 is where you see how, when you're practicing your self-will, you have resentment, you have fear, you harm others, you feel shame and guilt, and you can't stop drinking and using, and your life is a mess. And when you look at that, you can see that it's all because you're living on self-will. Your will, which you think is best for you. And when you do that, your life's a mess. And in step 4, you learn tools to be free of fear. Wouldn't that be great? Free of anger. You learn prayers. You learn how to practice to be free of that. You learn how in relationships, how you were, so you can see your decisions that caused you to harm yourself and others. And by doing that, you start to get rid of shame and guilt, because you realize you're not a bad person, you just had the wrong director. It was me. And it's hard to get over the shame and guilt and the regret of the things you've done. And we've all had that, but I realize I could see how self-centered I was when I did that. And I couldn't see it at the time. I made a joke, I don't know if it's funny. Any football fans here? Are there a few? All right, good. They had the NFL draft Thursday night, and the Atlanta Falcons signed this quarterback for over $100 million, and he's guaranteed for 2 years, and he's a pretty good quarterback. He's above average. And they have the ace pick, and they need a lot of players. And they picked another quarterback who's 24, and if he sits 2 years, he's going to be 26. So for the non-football fans, I'll stop all those details. And so then they had a press conference to try to explain it. And I texted Mark Goforth, who's on a cruise, and I said, I'm not ruining his anonymity because this is AA. I said, them trying to explain why they drafted a quarterback after paying $100 million guaranteed to another quarterback is like an alcoholic explaining to someone else why he took the first drink. You get it? We could justify it, but when you explain it to somebody else, it looks insane. And they were trying, they had this press conference. I said, well, that's what it's like when we're trying to explain things to ourselves. So anyway, and so to be free of these the inability, you have to be free of the ability, inability to practice your character defects. And you see it when you do steps 4 and 5. And 6 and 7 is really this card every day. When I'm disturbed, I'm on the left-hand side practicing one of these. And I have to stop and say, God, I don't want to be there. Help me be the opposite. Help me practice your character. And when you do that, you end up making less bad decisions. You get less disturbed. You have less anxiety. And you feel better about yourself. But you can't do it without going to God. And then 8 and 9 is how you repair some of the damage of the past through amends. And then in 10, you try to live and stay with God in the world of the spirit. That's what they call it in the book, all day long. Well, step 11 is how you inventory at night how well you did, basically doing steps 1 through 9 all day during the day in 10, and at night in inventory. And then there's some suggestions on prayer and meditation. And that's it. It's not that complicated, but if you go through the book and you do that, especially with someone, then you'll see, I think your life will change. So we're going to do To Wives, and we'll do these chapters, and we'll get through, and then we'll start the book over again. And this book was written by men. There was one woman who showed up right before the book was published, so, and they added, in later editions, men and women, 100 men and women. And they didn't realize in 1939, when they were writing this, that there could be women alcoholics, because they only were dealing with men at that point. And it was a different society. Women didn't work. They were the homekeepers. So relationships were really strenuous, because it wasn't easy for an alcoholic woman to divorce her husband with kids. What would she do? And also, the economy was bad in those days. It was coming out of the Depression. And still in 1935, when AA was founded, things were really bad. And a lot of people couldn't find work. And even up until the time the book was written, then when we had the war, then we had a lot of employment, and it was a different world. And so this chapter is actually written by is not written by a woman. It's written by Bill W. with some help from so many people and women, because he dealt with so many families that were ravaged by alcoholism. The wife would usually come to where the meetings were and want to get help for her husband. And a lot of times the husband wouldn't go. What a shock. But they would. She would go to the meetings, and she would practice these principles. And then eventually, when he was ready, they would try to help him. And that's how AA grew. So they were very familiar. There was no Al-Anon at the time. They were very familiar with how this disease ruins all of our relationships. It says we're a tornado. And we come out of the cellar after a tornado, and we tell everybody, boy, it's great the wind stopped blowing, but we've left wreckage behind. Anybody relate to that? And so now that this chapter is really, to me, is about alcoholism and the disease of alcoholism. They're explaining to people, to a wife, what it looks like. And we're going to see what the disease looks like and see if it applies to you and see if it helps you, this chapter, at all. It says, with few exceptions, our book thus far has spoken of men. So when they talk about you and the new man and this and that, nowadays you could just say, you know, the new person. But we have said applies quite as well to women. Our activities in behalf of women who drink are on the increase. There's every evidence that women regain their health as readily as men if they try our suggestions. And that's true. Men will regain their health as readily if they try our suggestions. And what are their suggestions? It's not go to meetings, get a sponsor, work the steps. You know, you hear that all the time. People give this mantra. It's doing the actions in the book. And it's actually doing it. There's a chapter here, Into Action. Have any of you noticed? It's not called Into Thinking. And You know, when they read the preamble, men and women who desire to stop drinking, but it should be thinking. And why do I say that? Because it's our thinking that got us here. It's my thinking, and I have to change the way I see things and think differently with God. And the steps do that, 4 through 9. And it says, for every man who drinks, others are involved. And the wife who trembles in fear of the next debauch, that's the next drink or whatever, carrying on and whatever, and that trembles in fear of us. The household's a mess. So people who are still in the relationship, a lot of them aren't anymore. They've had 2 or 3 relationships usually when they come in now that didn't work, but the wife still trembles in fear. The mother and father who see their son wasting away. One of the common things I see is that people are in a relationship and they want the relationship to be repaired in 30 days. They come out of treatment, they're home, they don't know why things are still, you know, what's wrong with her? Why is she still upset with me? You know, I'm sober, blah, blah, blah. You hear that all the time, but we don't realize what we put people through. It's almost like post-traumatic stress disorder. And it says in the big book, a long road of reconstruction ahead. It takes a long time. And a long road means a long road. And each person has a different long road. So some long roads are longer than others. And I hear people who are impatient at a year, or this and that. I said, well, you had 17 years of torturing this woman. You know, give her 17 years. It sounds silly, but I was a cancer doctor, and I'd get some really sick patients. And some of them be in the wheelchair, and they'd be critically ill. And I said, well, I think we can help you. I'm not talking about cure necessarily at times, but I think we can help you. I think the medicine can decrease the amount of cancer, and you can feel better. And I said, for a while, I don't know how long. So you give them one treatment, and they come in, and they want to know why they're not out of the wheelchair. And I said, it took you 6 months to get in the wheelchair. It's not going to happen right away, but you're going to feel better each day. And that's how it is with this reconstruction. It takes a while. And we have to learn patience, which is on the right side of the card, you notice? And we have to give the time to God. Give the time to God, the limits. Stay with God. Among us are wise relatives and friends whose problem has been solved. And who solves the problem? Does anybody know? God. See, if I think I'm going to solve the problem, I'm screwed, because then I'm taking charge again. And when we have birthdays, I always ask person, how do you let God do it? God's in charge anyway, but how do we let him by not wanting to practice our character and practicing his character? As well as some have not yet found a happy solution. We want the wives of Alcoholics Anonymous to address the wives of men who drink too much. What they say will apply to nearly everyone bound by ties of blood or affection to the alcoholic and to the alcoholic himself. As wives of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I wrote, you can read this in the first person. We would like you to feel that we understand as few perhaps can. We want to analyze mistakes we have made. Now, the key thing about the family member is they need to analyze the mistakes they've made. Now, the problem why some of these relationships don't resolve and repair is the alcoholic is trying to analyze the mistakes they've made and make their amends, and the family member, male or female, is still analyzing their mistakes, the alcoholic's mistakes, and not their own. So they continually transfer blame to the alcoholic, and they never look at themselves, so they don't change. and especially a lot of these ex, anybody have an ex? The ex may not forgive, because if she does, then she has to look at herself. And so people I've worked with, I have to explain, you know, they may not change, they may get worse. But it's important, if they want to have peace, that they analyze the mistakes we have made, just like the mistakes I made, you know, in the fourth step, when you're looking at anger, it doesn't say in the book, you hear, what was my part? Have you ever heard somebody say that? It's not in there. It doesn't say that. It says, blocking out anything you thought they did, we look at our mistakes, because they don't have a part in my resentment, because the book says I have to be free of anger, and I don't have to get angry no matter what they do. Isn't that something? And so they have to have it the same way if there's going to be peace in the house. They have to be willing to change too. And actually, everybody in the world should use these steps, because all relationships will be better. If you watch the news, you notice we have resentments on channel 27, and we have the opposite resentments on channel 28, right? And you would, and when you watch it, you wouldn't even know it's the same world. And so how's that working for us? Not well at all. It's very depressing. We want to leave you with the feeling that, and here it is, that no situation is too difficult and no unhappiness too great to be overcome. And I wrote, with God. And this could apply to you today. You could be in bad situations. You could have lost job, divorce, facing legal issues. Things are coming down on you. Well, here's what they say. We want to leave you with the feeling, this is hope, that no situation is too difficult and no unhappiness too great to be overcome with God. Anybody believe that? And so why don't we do it? See, we still have fear. But with God, things can be okay. There's a section in Matthew, come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to understand that if you're carrying these burdens around, if you go to God, he can give you rest. And I have to remember that, and it's really helped my life a lot. I just give it to God. You've all heard about a God box. Has any of you not heard of a God box? I have a God box, and I have the same one that I've had for 20-some years, and it says God's box on it. And in it, I put things that I have fears, and I write them out, and I put them in there. And I wrote a lot the first month, in the first year. I don't put too much in anymore. I deal with fear through the prayer, and I realize fear isn't true. It's not happening. It's something I've brought into my mind, and I just say, God, just take it away. It hasn't happened yet. And I say there a prayer for fear. God, remove my fear and direct my attention now. I should be. How should I be? Trust in God, patient, tolerant, whatever. And it always works. But if I stew for a while, I can put it in the box. And I tell new people, put your life in there. Write my life and put it in there. And put any relationships, anything that's burdensome at the moment. And then if it's still there tomorrow, put it in again. Because it's the act of giving it to God. And I give my fear to God and my anger to God, and it really works well. What we get in AA is not more money. Anybody want more money? You probably need to go to business school. What AA gives you is peace of mind, the ability to handle situations with God differently, to see things differently, so you can just be okay. Anybody want that? I mean, that's all we wanted from booze, but we drank right through that. And drugs, we went right through that in like 30 minutes, right? And then we've got the effect of the drugs and alcohol in our system. And so that's a great line. We want to leave you with the feeling that no situation is too difficult and no unhappiness too great to overcome with God. But to do that, I really think you need to use the spiritual tools outlined in step four. So if you haven't done step four, you don't know how to connect with God to allow him to do it. You get the hint? I'm like, I keep beating the same thing. Do this. Do it. We have traveled a rocky road. Any rocky roads in here? Any very rocky roads? There's no mistake about that. We've had a long rendezvous, which is appointment, with hurt pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear. So this is for the spouse. They have hurt pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear. And the alcoholic has the same thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, hurt pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, and fear is a description of what disease? Does anybody know? Alcoholism. This is what alcoholism looks like. Your pride's hurt. You're frustrated. You're not doing what I want. Self-pity. Oh my, I'm doing so, or I tried so hard, and look at the way they're treating me. Oh, misunderstanding and fear. And that's a disease. And it says, they've had a long rendezvous with it, and we have too. See why I like this chapter? It's really a description of our disease. And they have the same disease if they've lived with us long enough. It's just they've replaced us with booze. They're addicted to me. Sounds silly, isn't it? These are not pleasant companions. Now, so hurt, pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstanding, fear is not pleasant companions. Does anybody agree with that? Now, here's the question. Who makes them your companion? You do. When you're in self, then you're going to have hurt pride, you're going to be frustrated, you have self-pity, you're misunderstanding and fear. And when you have that, it's hard to stay clean and sober. You get it? Why? Because when you feel like that, you want to fix it. And your mind says, I know what'll fix this. Michael, I know what'll fix this. And then if you haven't worked the steps, you'll say you're right. And that's why you draft a quarterback in the eighth round when you already have one. You get it? And so, I'm being silly. We're in a lot worse shape than the Falcons are. But I make it my companion. You see, so I caused all of my mess. It says, so our problems arise out of ourselves. Anybody relate to that? And it says, we are self-will run riot. Can you imagine a riot? You've seen pictures of a riot. That's what my self-will is. It's not like a little self-will. It's like a riot. And then it says, I make decisions based on self which put me in a position to be hurt. Has anybody done that? Sad, isn't it? Has anybody hurt people you loved? Yes. Why do we do it? Because we're selfish. We don't want to do that anymore. So I have to learn how to live a life where instead of getting hurt, pride, frustration, self-pity, misunderstandings, and fear, I can find a different way of seeing things, and so I don't have to be in that. I can be peaceful. I can be understanding. Did anybody say the Serenity Prayer when we said it together? Anybody like the Serenity Prayer? Well, it says, God, give me serenity. That's peace of mind, and unclutter the crap in there at the moment so I can have the ability to see what I need to change and what I need to accept and the wisdom to know the difference. So I'm not just looking at things disturbed anymore. I'm looking at them with God right in the moment, and it works if you do it. And we have the St. Francis prayer in the back of the card that says the same thing. And so here's what I wrote. It's not what happened in my life that was a problem. And I wrote, it is how I reacted to it. I wrote that a long time ago. That's pretty smart, isn't it? I'm shocked. It's not what happened in my life that was a problem. It's how I... Schultz knows. He knows how smart I am. Schultz is going to make a comment soon. All right, stop it, Mark. Mark, calm down.
Love you, Michael.
I'm going to call you Audie in a minute. It's not what happened in my life that was a problem. It's how I reacted to it. And it tells us on page 85, if we're in the world of the Spirit, we've worked steps 4 through 9, we're practicing step 10, that we are then in fit spiritual condition and we react differently to alcohol and we react differently to life and situations. And we're not in conflict with anybody and everything, everybody and everything. Wasn't that great? Now, to have that and be at that place, you have to do the work. And then you have to stay in it. They say, warning, you're not cured. You have a daily reprieve based upon your spiritual condition. So when I came in, my spiritual condition was pretty crappy. Anybody else's? It was very crappy. In fact, I didn't even know it. I didn't know what my problem was. It was my spiritual condition. And we learn how we have to change that, because we have a disease that says that only a spiritual experience can conquer. So I have let's say I have cancer. We have a certain treatment for it. We have a disease, alcoholism, that the only treatment is a relationship with God, in which we're allowing God to direct our lives all the time, and we keep doing it. It says, we have been driven to maudlin sympathy. Maudlin is self-pity or tearfully sentimental, to bitter resentment, not just resentment. And this is true for the wives and for the alcoholic, or the husbands and the alcoholic. Some of us have veered from extreme to extreme, ever hoping one day that our loved one would be themselves once more. And I wrote, do you really want that? You know, they can't even remember what we were like before we were self-centered. We were always that way. And also, that's the way they want to remember it. So they're back in their self. And I'm going to just read a couple more lines. Our loyalty and desire that our husbands hold up their heads and be like other men have begotten all sorts of predicaments. We have been, so in page 61, it tells us of all the things we did to try to get our way, and how we were self-seeking, or we tried to be kind, or we were loving, and we were so caring. And if that didn't work, we became angry and hostile and mean, or whatever it was to get our way. Anybody relate to that? So now they're trying to get the husband to be the way they want to be. So it's the same thing. They're going to be unselfish and self-sacrificing. We have told innumerable lies to protect our pride and our husband's reputations. We have prayed, we have begged, we have been patient. We have struck out viciously, we have run away, we have been hysterical, we have been terror-stricken. We have sought sympathy, we have had retaliatory love affairs with other men. And you could say this about the alcoholic trying to get their way and make their world the way they want it. And so, trying to run the show, that's what it's like. We were trying to run our show. So we were an actor, it says, and we were an actor trying to run the show. What's wrong with that? The actor is not the director. And trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, just to get it my way. And I thought if I could just get it my way, everything would be great for everybody. How's that? It never worked. Did anybody ever get, I would get everything arranged okay for like a few days. But then my alcoholism, you know, and I get fear, my pride, and I get resentful. Am I talking nonsense? Can anybody relate to this? You know, and so being happy is not my goal today. My goal today is to be at peace and to be of service to God and others. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm less than 30 minutes, Dick, so. All right, Dick's okay with.
Well, I'm just.